Now, the foot washing was over. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. The meal, perhaps the Last Supper, but we're not really sure in the Gospel of John, but the meal had begun. The disciples were chattering away like happy little birds. To them, it was all fine. But there at the center of things was Jesus. And the Bible says that he was of an entirely, completely different nature than everybody else in the room. See, that night all was not well with Jesus. For the Bible says that Jesus was troubled in his spirit. But not one of those suckers noticed. Have you ever been there? I mean, your world is falling apart. And everybody around you is as happy as a lark. No one even notices that you're doing and walking around with tears in your eyes. Not a soul knows that you are troubled inside at the very core of your being. And what was Jesus troubled about that night? Well, he finally spoke up and he told them, "One of you is going to betray me," he said. Now, don't miss the irony here. Jesus is shaken at a deep core level of his being. And they don't even notice. But when at last he tells them of the churning desire and concern in his heart, they become concerned for themselves. They are not one bit concerned about Jesus' troubled soul. All they want to know is how it will affect me. Which one of us is it going to be? They don't even offer Jesus a kind word of comfort for his troubled spirit. All they are concerned about is them. Now, just a couple of things here, a few lessons. Number one, when you're down in the dumps, don't assume that others will be concerned about it. In all likelihood, they will not even notice. Number two, when your buddy is down in the dumps and you do notice, do not think it is all about you. Now, in the Bible, it says that the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, just for the record, so I can set this straight, Jesus loved all of the disciples, every one of them. He even loved Judas, of all things. That's why he was troubled at the core of his being, in his spirit, because he even loved Judas. He was troubled that night, not because of what he knew, but because of what he knew. The effect that Judas' behavior in betraying him would have on the rest of Judas' life. See, Jesus loved them all, even Judas. And here's the good news for today. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, Jesus loves you too. Though it is true that Jesus went to the cross to save the entire world, If you had been the only one who needed saving, Jesus would have laid down his life for you. Just for you. He would have gone to the cross to save you. See, Jesus loves you enough to lay down his own life to save you. I'm going to say it again, because you need to know it. Jesus loves you. But in the Gospel of John, the reference to the disciple whom Jesus loved is John's humble way of referring to himself. John is the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved in the Gospel of John. So the text says that John was laying next to Jesus. Now, this confuses us because they didn't eat supper in the same way we do. We sit down in chairs. They laid down on couches. They would recline on their right elbow so that they could use their left hand to feed themselves while they were laying out on the couch at the table. And others would lay out around them. Now, where John was in position to Jesus is laying like this, and John is the one who's laying right next to him right here. So he is the person that night at that particular event who had the opportunity to speak most intimately with Jesus. It probably was not his position all the time. It was probably shared among them. But that night, John is the person who can whisper things to Jesus that the rest of the group can't hear. So Peter, who is, by the way, always the head of the group, signaled to John that John should find out from Jesus who of them, which one of them it was, who was going to betray him. So John did. He said to Jesus, "Who is it?" Got that? "Who is it?" And Jesus said, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread after I have dipped it in the dish." And then, at some point during the meal, Jesus dipped the bread into the dish and gave it to Judas. Now, just a couple more things here. Number one, Jesus clearly knew who was going to betray him. He knew it. He was able, with absolute certainty, to take that piece of bread which he had dipped in the dish and hand it to Judas. He knew. Now, if you knew who was going to betray you, if you knew that with absolute certainty and no doubt whatsoever, how would you treat such person? Watch this one. Would you kindly hand him a piece of bread you had dipped in the dish? Or would you first spread it with arsenic butter? See, Jesus is the one who sets the example for us. He is the master. We are only his disciples. And as he told us, no disciple is greater than his master. We're supposed to do what the master did, even if what we really want to do is feed the guy arsenic butter. And then notice, I'm leaving that one go because I pushed it hard enough, you're getting the point. Notice that the disciples did not figure it out. This one has always amazed me. What I know from my study of the text in Greek is that the word dipping is a durative thing. It doesn't mean he goes. It means he goes. Okay, so what the text implies is that Jesus kind of held on to the bread for a little bit before he dipped it in the dish and gave it to Judas. Otherwise, John would have caught on to what was going on and told the rest of the disciples that it was Judas. But even though Jesus did exactly what he was going to say, he dipped the bread in the dish and eventually gave it to Judas, no one caught on. Because Jesus never exposed his betrayer. To the end, he cared for and tried to protect the one who he knew was going to hurt him anyway. God, don't you love Jesus? I mean, doesn't he make you want to cry? And that too becomes part of the example which the Master set for his disciples. We don't seek to expose others. We seek to protect, because that is the example the Master set for his disciples, and it is the very nature of love. It is the very nature of love. And then notice that the betrayal is actually revealed in the breaking of bread. My notes say explain, and this one's really tough to explain, and you've really got to grab hold of it. See, the communion meal, the breaking of bread, is a truly significant thing in our life. Because it declares that when the body of Christ was broken, by the breaking of it and the spilling of his blood, we were made one family in Christ. So when we partake of the bread, the broken bread, and the spilled cup, we are in essence declaring that we are brothers and sisters, one family. Now it's hard for us to catch the significance of this. Christians have violated this principle from the beginning of time. See, we are the body of Christ. Like it or not, the church is the body of Christ. Like his physical body, we are broken by our sin. But by his sacrifice, we are made one. One. Our betrayal of each other, our propensity to break fellowship because something happened between us, our tendency to fragment the body of Christ remains our betrayal of our Master. We like it or not, and sometimes we don't. Like it or not, we are bound to one another by the blood of Christ. And when we break fellowship with each other, we betray the Lord, whose intention is for us to be one. We betray the body. Betrayal of Christ is still revealed in the breaking of the covenant, in the breaking of the bread. When we can no longer sit together at the Lord's table, we have betrayed the body and blood of the Lord. Now notice that at the very moment when the bread was passed from Jesus' hand to Judas, something changed in Judas. Something changed in Judas. Now, it's clear in the scripture, when you read it, particularly in the context of the other gospels, Judas had already been talking with the authorities of Judaism. He had already been playing with the notion of betrayal. He had been thinking about it, considering his options, weighing this against that, trying to determine whether he should do this thing or do the other thing. He had become amused with an idea. But when the body of Christ, the bread, was broken, the scripture says that Satan entered into Judas. It's what the text says. When he broke fellowship that night, he became Satan's man. He literally surrendered himself to the idea and to Satan's control. Up to that moment, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. Because there is no secret hidden from the mind of Jesus. He knew. But not even Judas knew. When Judas broke fellowship, something inside of Judas changed. Clearly, folks, breaking fellowship among us should be a matter of overwhelming concern. The Bible says that Jesus told Judas to go and do what he was going to do quickly once Judas had determined what it was he was going to do. The way it's worded suggests that betrayal, at first private in you, but then works itself out to a public event. So eventually, if you're going to break fellowship, it's going to become something that everybody sees. When Judas left the table, the text says it was night. Darkness had fallen over the earth. Evil seemed to have won, for Christ was betrayed, placed into the hands of evil men. Jesus was about to be betrayed.